Hello, welcome to the Aletra Jaxia podcast. So in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about all things self-improvement, sacred sexuality, transcendence, and above all else, divine truth. Truth. I am a singer, songwriter, and sexual empowerment coach and healer. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of my dark past, I think I should give you a little short overview of who I am at my core. So I'm personally a truth seeker. I'm constantly looking for the truth in people, in society, and especially within myself. So for me, that means I'm very curious about the world and the parts that we play in it. So always having that childlike curiosity has led me down a path of self-discovery and unveiling what was conditioned on me and finding the truth to who I am beneath the conditioning. So who am I? Well, I can sit here and say what most spiritual people say, or gurus, and say that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And I do agree with that, but I want to shortly explain who I think I personally am at my core. So when I close my eyes and view the core of who I am, it isn't just light. I'm more than that. I'm an explosive ray of rainbow light. And no, that doesn't mean LGBTQ. That's not where I'm going with this. But I literally just think of this huge orb of light. It's just like the sun. Like, we tend to think the sun is white or yellow or orange, but it actually has all the colors of the spectrum in it. And that's what I see at my core. Each color representing like a different power and version of myself. A multifaceted being that came on this earth to explore, entertain, co-create with humanity, be an example of truth, and more than anything, have some little bit of fun. I came here to have fun. I came here to have fun. This world is so serious for me. It's too serious. So I have a strong voice that I've never been afraid to use, and I use my voice as my power. I used to be very ashamed of my voice because of how explosive I grew up and how explosive it could be and how blunt it can be. But through the mud, I found out the power in it. I speak up for those who can't speak and for those who haven't found the bravery yet to do so. I also speak the hard truth even when people don't like to hear it. It's just how I've always been. I don't know. It's just who I am. And I've also learned to speak compassionately while speaking the truth so that it can actually be a little bit well received. But that's also still a work in progress. Sometimes we need the harsh truth more than anything. Sometimes we need that trigger in order to make the change we need to make. So with that being said, my goal with this podcast is to bring some awareness and truth to you, as well as tools and guidance on how to heal and be empowered through my own experiences in life and how I transcended a lot of my darkness and trauma. And I hope you enjoy. Let's get on with it.
All right. So I was battling in myself, what should I talk about in my, I have so many things to talk about, so many things. And because this podcast is about authenticity and truth, I feel like what I should start off with is my truth. And because I'm in my tantra room right now, I'm in my little sacred space, sacred temple, I actually want to kind of dive into what even got me here in the first place. And basically, I've kind of had this theme in my life revolving around sexual energy, whether it's, you know, being exposed to it at a very young age, which I will talk about, and about, you know, all of the men that I've given my sexual energy to, that I've exchanged energy to. And through that process, I learned a lot. I cried a lot. I broke my heart over and over and over and over again until it actually cracked open. And it was a very tough journey. It's been a very tough journey. And I'm turning 30 this year. And I feel like I've lived so many lives just in this lifetime, you know? So where to begin? I guess revolving around sexual energy. The earliest that I remember with anything that having to do with sexual energy was probably 5 or 6, around that time. Maybe 7. The age is a little blurry, but I know that I was so little. And growing up in Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood to be specific, I had this best friend. She was like my friend. I loved her so much. And she was my next door neighbor. And my parents would let me go out in the street and play with her and play with some of the other kids on their street too. But they always told me, do not go into anyone's house. You don't go in anyone's houses. You stay right in front of the house and you could play on the street because it was not like a very busy street. And or you can play, you know, on the sidewalk. I think at that time, I think I actually was only able to be on the sidewalk of the side that where we were at because I was so young. Once in a while, I would sneak over. So this one day, my friend, which was the next door neighbor, who was probably around my age as well, she invited me into her house. And I remember feeling like, oh, mom and dad told me not to do that. Like, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm like getting the chills just even talking about it right now. And so, but, you know, I just wanted to explore myself too, you know? There's that part of me that doesn't want to get in trouble. And then there's the part of me that I'm like, okay, cool. Like my best friend who I love so much. Like I even felt that much love for her at such a young age. And it makes me think about the love that we are born with into this world. Like our divine love that we all have, every single one, even down to the worst person on this planet. We all have that love. And how vulnerable we are just to be able to just share that love with anyone and everyone. So I go into her house and she takes me to her back patio. It was kind of like a really big enclosed patio and enclosed with screen doors. And I remember standing in there looking around. It was so cluttered. Like, it's like you can tell they were just one of those families that like, oh, we don't know where to put this. Put it on the patio. It was just kind of like their junk room. So I want to explain what's happening in my body real quick. So my legs are shaking. My chest is shaking. My arms are shaking. My voice might shake a little bit here and there. My backside is shaking, tensing up. So this is actually good. Good to feel these shakes and feel the emotions so I can actually release them. So thank you for being on my healing journey with me. So I walk in and I'm just looking around and I remember feeling this heavy feeling of eeriness. It was super quiet, very eerie. And I'm like, everything in my gut is like telling me like, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. So then she pulls me to a corner. Or I shouldn't say she pulls me. She's like basically like, come here. And she kind of pulls me to a corner where like nobody can see behind whatever junk is in the way. And I'm doing my best to remember like step by step how it went. Because I've always generalized it, but you're walking with me in the memory right now. So pulls me over to the corner. I remember it was like the right hand corner of the room. And not like in the corner of the room, more like just on the right side of the room. And I say corner because there was so much junk that it kind of formed like its own corner. And so she, tells me to take off my pants. I'm like, okay, like, what are we doing? And, you know, me being so vulnerable and so young, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm just going to do this, I guess. Like, I trust her. I trust her. I love her. And, you know, at that age, I don't know what's going on, you know? So then she proceeds to basically lick me. And it's very disturbing to even think about it, but I think this kind of situation happens so often, and I feel like this situation will really help people feel like they're not alone and in their complex probably feelings and emotions around this kind of situation. And so I'm glad I can actually shed light on it. It's very vulnerable for me. So then I'll spare like the graphic details, I guess, but basically it was just kind of an exchange of basically oral sex. These are like 5 or 6 year olds. Like, and to be honest, I didn't feel anything. I don't remember ever feeling activated, like aroused. Like, I don't remember any of it. And I remember her telling me to do it to her too. So there was an exchange. Like, I was like, okay. And I remember even seeing her underwear and seeing that whoever wiped her, whether it was her or somebody else, they didn't do that much of a great job. And it's funny, now that I say that, I can literally like taste on my tongue like what I tasted in back in that moment. And I remember even thinking like this is gross. I remember even thinking like, this is fucking gross. I mean, I didn't say fucking in my 5 or 6 year old head, although my parents were like sailors when it came to curse words, so maybe I did. But no, I just remember feeling like, what am I doing? And I'm only doing this because she's telling me to do it. Like, why don't I have the bravery or the courage to say, I don't want to do this, I want to go? Like, did no one teach me? I just don't feel like my parents, you know, they always taught me to be tough and to not stand for people's shit. And I've always been pretty good at that growing up, to not standing for people's shit and like speaking up for myself. But what happens when you're in a situation that you literally don't know what to do, and you're in a situation that you're in a situation where you're confused and you don't really know what's going on? And I wasn't taught that this was bad, right? I wasn't taught that. I wasn't taught that this was inappropriate. And I wasn't taught like what to do in a hypothetical situation. Best believe I have taught aura that at a very young age. My 4-year-old. So, but what's funny is that even though it didn't feel, I didn't feel super activated by it, and I actually felt more feelings of confusing. I felt confused. I felt kind of numb, like I was going through the motions. And I also felt, at the same time, I also felt closer to her because of this. I felt like, okay, like now we're really best friends. Like I even understood that concept back then before anybody taught me anything about sex. I learned at a young age through that experience, like, oh yes, this is something that you do with someone who you are extremely close with and that you love. And because you did this experience, you have some kind of an attachment to them. I felt that even at that age. Even though I didn't feel sexually aroused, sexually activated, I still felt attached. And I also felt resent. I also felt like, why did she make me do this? You know, like, looking back on it as an adult, what did she go through in her own house? You know, I never want to accuse anybody of anything, but I will say that that house was very eerie and it was very scary to be in. It was very cluttered. And you can always tell how a person's mental state or even a family's mental state is by looking at their house. So after that, somewhere down the line, years later, you know, and I can't even remember if we did it more than once. I only remember one time. But based on my knowledge, training, and education on sexual energy and sexuality, sometimes the mind will block out several instances or experiences so that we don't have to feel the pain anymore. So, and it's funny because I'm having goosebumps throughout this entire podcast, this entire episode. So growing up, when I got older and I started to realize, like, you know, that kind of wasn't normal. I didn't really, because I, you know, it wasn't an adult that did it to me. I didn't feel super forced because no one used physical, you know, restraint on me. But, you know, through my healing journey of healing my sexual energy, I realized that that was actually a very traumatizing experience for me, the first of a few. And that was actually the foundation of how I related to women, you know, like to other girls in elementary, to middle, to high school. Me always wanting to be so close to women, like wanting this like really good connection, but not wanting sex. I've never felt like I wanted to have sex with a woman growing up. Like I never felt like I wanted to repeat that experience with my next door neighbor best friend. But I can tell that that was a blueprint of, that was a blueprint in my subconscious mind of how I viewed women and how I viewed my friendships. And it's actually a blueprint of why I show up so loyal to my friendships, especially my friendships with women. I'm extremely loyal. I am that ride or die. Any friend of mine will tell you. And so because of that experience, I think a couple years later, I remember feeling very confused with her. After that, our friendship changed. I felt like I couldn't look at her the same. And at the same time, I still felt attached to her. I felt like I still wanted to be close to her. And then when we started going to elementary school and she found new friends, I felt like I was still attached and she wasn't. And I felt like I was losing a best friend. I felt like I was losing a lover. Like, just how dark and twisted this all sounds. And just, I'm glad I'm talking about it because this is how trauma affects the psyche. Because there's so many emotions. And I didn't have anybody to process this with. It wasn't only until a couple weeks ago that I actually told my parents about it. And I've only told my sister. It helped me to have more compassion for my best friend at the time. Because I can only imagine what she went through. What she witnessed. What she was put through. Because come to find out, in my adult life, I found out that her 13-year-old sister was doing the same thing with her friends. And I'm like, wow, the whole family's doing it. And I just wonder who got them doing that. And maybe it was just, maybe they were exposed to porn. That was definitely one of my initiations through sexual energy was through porn at an age a little bit later, maybe like 9 or 10. And so if they were exposed to it, you know, who knows? But it's either porn or somebody actually did something to them and taught them how to do it. Who knows? Maybe the sister was doing it to the little sister. So it's just so important to talk about these things because I feel like there, am I the only one out there? I doubt it. I really doubt it, especially with all of the clients that I have and hearing their abuse stories. And it's always in the family. It starts within the family. Or sometimes it's like the nanny or the nanny's son, the nanny's daughter, the nanny's cousin or whatever it is. It's always something. I'm so grateful that we kept our daughter at home and didn't take her to any daycares, didn't take her to a nanny, do our best to not even rely on anyone. And when we do, it's my own mom and dad. We definitely are privileged in that way because I know not everybody has that opportunity and we're so grateful for it. So my healing process and all of this was kind of speaking about it out loud and kind of like I had to journal about it. I had to, for the first time in my life, journal about this. This was only like a few months ago that I actually dived into this. I've always chalked it up to, oh, just these two kids doing stuff, something inappropriate, but they didn't know what they were doing. It is what it is. Like, kind of just like negating that 6-year-old version of me, negating all the emotions that she felt. She didn't get to process any of it. She didn't get to process any of it. And when we don't process our emotions, when we don't feel safe to process, when we don't have somebody to help us process our emotions, that's when trauma happens. That's when trauma stays in the body. Shitty things are always going to happen in life, right? We learn from them, we grow from them. But we can't just put them to the side and not face them. If we keep doing that, we just live a life of misery and depression and anxiety and physical conditions and diseases and cancers, etc., because we haven't faced the thing that we are holding on to, that we don't even know that we're holding on to. And this is why it's so important to get help. So my healing journey and all of this, I had to journal about it. And I had to identify all of the feelings that I felt, like even from just being in the room, in their house, the eeriness. The eeriness was the first thing that I felt. Almost like when if you watch like a scary movie and just that eerie, just that when somebody's like going into like a really quiet, spooky house or something before something comes out and like attacks. Like that's what it felt like an eeriness. And then I had to shake it out of my body. I journaled about it, took about a week to process it, identified all the emotions in that experience. That's the most important part, because the emotions and the feelings that we hold from traumatic experiences, that is what we're holding on into our body, and that's what we actually have to feel in order to heal. And that's what we have to express. We have to shake it out of our body, identify where it is in the body. So let's try to, like, I guess, organize this for you guys. Journal about the traumatic event. Doesn't have to be sexual, just anything. Anything that's traumatic. It could be something as simple as your mom and dad yelling at you one day. It could be as simple as a kid on the playground calling you ugly. That, like, if you don't process your emotions, they get stored as trauma in the body. So, number one, journal about it. I highly recommend journaling, sometimes more so over therapy, because sometimes there's talk therapy. Like, talk therapy will not help you to release it. It'll help you to release a layer of it because you're finally getting to express it. If you've never have got to express it in detail to someone. So there's that layer, right? And that's great. That's beneficial. And that's what therapists are great for. Talk about it. But then you have to get it out of the body. And if a therapist isn't trained in that, then the help will only go so far. So journaling about it. You can even write it. I actually wrote it on my computer because I think so fast. I think so fast that like my hand sometimes can't keep up. So I actually wrote it on my computer in my notes. And journaled about it. So journal about it. Ask yourself, what emotions did I feel during this experience? And you might have to do it step by step, because if you just say, what emotions did I feel? You're kind of, you have like probably a, you might have a bunch of different emotions. And it's going to be, it's going to sound like blah, 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 blah. Like your brain is going to give you that answer. Like blah, 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 blah. So you might have to take it step by step. So what I did was, okay, when I walked into the room, what did I feel? Like kind of come into it with this childlike curiosity as you explore this experience. Like, I wonder what I felt. Like, even like, how did that even begin? Like, how did it even start? And you just go off of what you remember. Don't get caught up in like what you don't remember. So number one, again, journal about it. Identify the emotions. And then number two, set up time and space for you to be by yourself or with a coach or a guide. But if you don't have, you know, the means to do that, you can do this by yourself. So then you're going to set up time and space, uninterrupted, like no distractions, no kids, no people in the house or whatever it is. If there's people in the house, make sure that they know that you need your sacred time right now. And you set up time and space for your healing. This is the part where I did this in front of the mirror. You don't have to. You definitely don't have to. I just do it because I just want to see myself going through that process. There's just something to me. I just think there's something powerful about it. So I have a body mirror and I ask myself. So because I have it written down, right? I have it organized in my journal, the feelings that I felt. Okay. The first one was eeriness. So I had to ask my body, just ask your body, just ask your body. Your body will give you the answer. I promise it will. This is when we start training our mind to actually listen to our body and listen for the cues. It's a process. You might not get it the first time, but just sit there. Just wait. Just wait. You might hear nothing at first, but just wait. And you might have to ask again, where is the emotion of eeriness, or where is the feeling of eeriness in my body? So that's what I did, because I had that feeling of eeriness. And also, sometimes you might not even know what the fuck you were feeling, and maybe you don't have a label for it. So try your best to put that emotion in a box and then ask your body, where is this emotion in my body? So I know for me, the eeriness was in my sacral. Like it was my sacral chakra. It was like in my low gut, like my pelvis area. And then I had to ask it, what sounds do you want to make? Now I've gotten to the point, I'm kind of at a point in my healing journey where I kind of know what to do and I don't have to always ask these questions. But this is a great first step. I had to at first. At first, I had to ask the questions. And sometimes I still do, just to make sure that I'm getting clear clarification and I'm not just going with what my mind thinks it is. So in my process, I asked, where's the eeriness? I felt it in my gut. And then I already knew that what I would have to like express in order for it to come out. But I still asked my body, what sound does the eeriness want to make? And so I had to close my eyes, feel into that emotion that was in my pelvis area. And it wanted to make this sound. I know it's I'm getting vulnerable here, but I'm actually really tapping into that. And it's in it. And I can tell that it sounds like that because it's also like, it's been like in my digestive system. So that could be my digestive system also like carrying this eeriness. So So I had to sound it out. And maybe just sounding it out will release it. But if it's something, usually when it's something from this young of an age, and it's been stuck in your body this entire time, you're most likely going to have to move your body. So I literally had to move my body as if I was eeriness in itself. Like, I'm not Aletra Cruz anymore. I had to embody the eeriness so that I can actually feel it go out of my body. So it kind of, one day I will actually video record my my podcast. Maybe I'll do a video for Instagram on this, but I had to, like, I sat there in crisscross applesauce and I put my both of my hands on my pelvis area, and it, my body just wanted to, like, move really slow and sludgy and, like, and I kept doing that until I felt it release. And you will get to a point where your body will just stop doing it on its own, and you'll kind of come to that point of, like, why am I doing this? When you get to that point, it might be over. It might be done. When you get to that point of kind of, like, boredom almost, like, okay, I've been doing this, and it's like, okay, maybe it's released. Let me check again. Where is that feeling? And sometimes you won't be able to really feel that feeling anymore. When you cannot feel that feeling of eeriness anymore, you know that it has passed, it has gone. And sometimes it doesn't look like that. The emotion can look like you jumping up and down, or sometimes we hold in even happy moments or happy experiences because we didn't process happy experiences. So maybe you need to laugh and jump up and down. Or maybe you had fear. So maybe your fear wants to literally cry in a little ball in cradle position in order for you to actually feel the emotions and release them. So we journaled the traumatic experience that you're trying to heal from. Number one, journal. Number two, identify and write down the emotions that you felt throughout the experience. Number three, set up time and space undistracted so that you can express and get it out of your body and heal yourself. The sound is very important, guys. Now, maybe there's some emotions that you won't, that it doesn't need to sound out, and that's okay. But unfortunately, we live in a society where our expression, our natural expression that we are born into this world with, has gotten suppressed to the point where if we breathe out with sound or we do some weird noise, we feel weird because it's been so suppressed, and we've been taught this lie that being expressive is a weird thing to do, or it's not what everybody else is doing, so it's weird, so you stand out, or that it means it's a sign of weakness. Just throw all of that shit out the window. It's not. When you figure this out, you will realize, when you get through this journey, you will realize that expressing yourself is actually a superpower. Listen, it was very weird for me at first to start this pattern of expressing myself, like, and not just expressing myself through words, like, and doing all that, like learning that at the tantra training and everything. It was weird for me. It was so triggering for me, actually, because I'm like, okay, this is fucking weird. But the more I did it, the more I was like, oh my God, this is actually who I am. This is actually who I am. I am a naturally expressive person that doesn't always need to express with words. Sometimes it just sounds like sounds. Okay, so journal, identify the emotions. Step by step in that experience, try to get all the emotions as much as possible. Create a sacred time and place for you to actually feel into these emotions. And move your body with the emotions. Think of it as a dance. You're dancing with the emotion. You're not getting upset with the emotion. You're not getting triggered by the emotion. Rest when you need to. Don't go full ham. We want to make this an experience that your body and your mind is going to want to do again. The mind runs from pain. The mind runs toward pleasure. So if we make this just a full on emotional crying and like, that's totally okay too. But if you keep going from emotion to emotion, okay, I felt eeriness. Okay, now I felt confusion. We're going to start feeling confusion. Yes, you might release a lot, but you might not want to ever do this process again because of how painful it can actually be. And we want to call in gracefulness and ease into this process. We're not taught enough about compassion and ease and gracefulness. This is our feminine energy. We all have it, men and women. And our feminine energy in this society is so suppressed because we are on the constant go, 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 do, 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 work, 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 provide, provide, provide. And we don't allow the feminine energy to actually rest and to let the masculine energy rest. And so we become unbalanced. So it's a very important part of this healing session is for you to feel the emotions and rest in between. Take about 5 to 7 minutes to rest in between jumping from emotion to emotion. And you might be like, you know what? That was a lot for me. I'm not doing another emotion tonight. Please honor that boundary. It's very important because if you push past that boundary, you might traumatize yourself again. And you might just re-traumatize yourself. So do your best to take a break. It's okay. It's still there, but we're going to box it up, put it in a little safe box, and put it in a little hiding place. And we're going to say, we will get to you another day. Make a plan for it. And we will revisit that. Do what you can. Slow and steady is always the best way than full force fast. Listen, if anybody knows about doing life full force fast, it's fucking me. All of my closest people know. And I can be very intense. And that's why I have learned to like, hey, like, let's not be so intense anymore. You don't have to have this internal voice of like, just do it, do it, do it. No, no. Slow and steady wins the race. So then let's say you've done like 2 or 3 emotions in one sitting. You're going to rest for like 15 to 20 minutes. Set a timer on your phone. Get your timer on your phone. Set it for 15 to 20 minutes. And just get all cozied up. And you're going to lay in Savasana or corpse pose. So that's just laying down on your back with your hands face up. This part is very important. Listen to me. It's important to rest. Without resting, everything that you did didn't do shit. This is the part where your body, your mind, and your spirit integrate evenly, all together, all at once. Reminds me of that movie, Everywhere. Wait, what is it? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Fucking phenomenal movie. Anyways, all at once, the mind, body, and spirit becomes aligned during the integration process. Because your body just went through this process. Your mind had to kind of relive it. And your spirit is becoming renewed. All together, it becomes in peace and fully lets go. This is your integration process. So please set a timer, 15 to 20 minutes, whatever you choose. 15 minutes is a good, is a sweet spot. If you want a little more, go for 20. And also, don't do this in your bed. Do it like on the floor. Do it, set up a little cozy, whatever area. Don't do it on your bed. Memory, like just space remembers memory. Wait, is it that? Space holds memory. Space holds memory. So let's just not do a trauma release session in your bed. Don't do it. because it will hold that memory. And we want our bed to be like our sacred space for just sleep and other fun things. Okay, so yes. So resting for 15 to 20 minutes, letting your mind, body, and spirit integrate everything that happened. And then you can be on your merry off way and reward yourself. Whether that's a hug. What I do is I look in the mirror and I say, you fucking did that shit. You fucking went to the depths of your fucking self. And you decided, you took the choice to relive this fucking trauma because you love yourself that much because you wanted to release it. You love yourself that much. You allowed yourself to experience all of the emotions that you experienced that day, but you never got to process and you never got to release. You fucking did that shit. Good fucking job. You fucking did it. And that just makes, I don't know, like just saying you did it, like with that power, like you fucking did it. When that literally makes me feel like, okay, I did it. I don't need to go deep into that anymore. It puts a perfect like cap on the entire session. And you will be able to tell if it's done or not. Because there's layers. All of these emotions and stored trauma create layers. So this was awesome. All right, so journal. Identify and write down the emotions that you felt during the experience. Journal the experience out. Sorry, I want to make sure this is super organized. When you're reading, it's when you're hearing it, you're like, okay, I got it. So journal the experience out. Identify and write down the emotions / feelings that you had during that experience. You might cry when you're journaling. That's okay. That's a good start to releasing. And then number three, set a sacred time and place for you to release and do your healing work. And then number four, during that healing session, make sure you rest. And then number four, you tell yourself you fucking did it. You look in the mirror and you say you fucking did it. Or whatever is good for you, whatever you think will put a good cap on this, to make sure that your mind understands, like, we did that shit. We don't need to do that again, okay? We don't need to relive those memories and now, or we don't have to like keep that stored in our body. And now that we did it, we are initiated. Initiations. There's just something so divine about the word initiation. It feels so God, goddess like. Like, yeah, bitch, I did all this shit and now I'm initiated. Boom. So now that we did that, guess what? We transcended the mud into a foundation. And it became that, wow, yeah, now you can see it from really objectively. Like, yeah, I went through that and I have so much compassion for that little person or that version of me that went through that. And it's made me who I am. It's not, it didn't make me who I am on a toxic way, not in a toxic way. It made me who I am I am now initiated. I transcended that emotion. I transcended eeriness to acceptance. I transcended eeriness to, instead of this, I transcended, I felt it, I honored that emotion, and it became, and I did that shit. All right? Much love to you guys on you and your healing journey. Thank you for listening if you've made it this far. And I look forward to making more of these episodes. And I will ask on my Instagram. Please follow me at Aletrajaxia on Instagram and TikTok. And let me know what you would like me to talk about. I got stories for days. Much love and light. Love and light, both. You need both. Light is just light, right? It's just... You need love and light. So much love and light on you and your healing self-development journey.